For Wednesday, August 10th, this is Texas Standard. I'm Lauren Silverman with KERA North Texas, in for host David Brown. Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Kaine will be fundraising for Hillary Clinton in Dallas and Fort Worth today. On his swing through Austin yesterday, we eventually got to talking about some serious issues: immigration reform, Donald Trump's latest comments. But like any good conversation, we started with food.
I try Texas chili wherever I can, but I've been in Texas a good bit. In fact, my brother, Steve, did his medical training at Baylor in Houston. And so I used to go to Houston quite a bit when he still lived here. He lives in Kansas City now. And then when I became chairman of the Democratic National Committee, the first meeting we had of the committee, I brought to Austin because I really have been a big believer in more focus and attention from national Democrats to help folks out in Texas on the Democratic side. So, and then I came back often, you know, when I was a DNC chair, and then also during my Senate campaign and as senator, both to learn but also to do fundraising events, and I have a lot of friends here.
I think it's fair to say that Democrats have been excited, even giddy, at the thought of winning the battleground state that is Texas for a long time. And Clinton has said that if Black and Latino voters do come out and vote, she said, we could win Texas. Do you really think that's possible?
It's definitely possible. And I just use my Virginia analogy. When I got into state politics in Virginia in 2001, we were viewed as the reddest of the red. We had five statewide officials. All were Republicans. We hadn't gone Democratic since LBJ won Virginia in 1964. And people felt like it was kind of a mission of mercy, you know, project. I mean, you're almost kind of a sacrificial lamb if you run. But now here it is 15 years later, all five of the statewide officials in Virginia are Democrats. We've now gone blue in two presidential elections in a row, 08 and 12, and we feel really good about doing it a third time. So I see some similar dynamics in Texas to Virginia, but it is a matter of pushing. And then also, and that's why I'm visiting today, to give encouragement to those who are out in the vineyard doing the work that, hey, this can seem hard, maybe especially in August, it seems hot and hard, but I come from a state where people thought it was hard too, and we've dramatically changed and we've succeeded, and I think the seeds are there for the same thing to happen here.
So if the seeds are there, what is it that can push it forward, that can actually, you know, it feels like they've been here for many people on the ground for a long time. What is it to bring it over the edge?
You know, I'll tell you, just using my Virginia example, what it took for us in Virginia to make believers out of folks was we had to win a big statewide race, and that would either be electoral votes in a presidential race, governor's race, or Senate race. When you win a big one, you create a lot of believers. And what we found in Virginia is after Mark Warner won the governorship in 2001, a whole lot of people started putting Democratic signs in their yard, and their neighbors were saying, wait a minute, I never knew you were a Democrat. Well, I've always been a Democrat, but I didn't think there were a lot of us here. So these big statewide races, presidential, Senate, governor, are really important to kind of break the ice and show people what's possible. And then that has an effect on all of the down-ticket races, too. And obviously, here in Texas, you've got all kinds of down-ticket races. I was just doing a rally in Austin with many local candidates. And obviously, you've got congressional races up and state legislative races, local races. So I think usually to change people's minds about what's possible, it takes a big win in a statewide race. But then that filters down and it starts to affect all the other races, too.
So I want to ask you about something that Donald Trump said Tuesday in North Carolina, and this is a quote from him. He said Hillary wants to abolish the Second Amendment, and he said, this is still the quote, by the way, if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks, although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. The Trump campaign then issued a statement that he was simply trying to urge supporters of the Second Amendment to use their political power. How do you respond to that?
Lauren, I don't find the explanation believable. I when I saw the report of that quote, I went to watch the video of it because I frankly could not believe that Trump had said what the words that, you know, were in the print version. And I went and watched the video, and that's exactly what he said. And there is absolutely no place, there should be no place in our politics for somebody who wants to be a leader to say something, even in an offhand way, that is connected to inciting violence. And that's exactly what he said. In addition, the whole thing is false. Hillary Clinton is a Second Amendment supporter just like I am. And we believe the Second Amendment is consistent with appropriate safety rules, just like the First Amendment, there are rules. But the part of this that just like put an, you know, icicle in my veins when I heard it was that this is a guy who is wanting to be a president, who was protected by a service detail that are trying to do things to keep him safe. And a statement like that, it no leader should be inciting violence in any way, shape, or form. And it really speaks to a fundamental defect in his temperament insofar as he would want to be president.
Let's talk about immigration for a minute. You've promised that a Clinton administration would begin work on comprehensive immigration reform in the first 100 days. What would reform look like? What do you have in mind?
This is something, Lauren, that Hillary Clinton has said, trying to move past Citizens United, doing a major jobs program, doing immigration reform. These are the first thing, the things in the first 100 days. On immigration reform, look, a starting point for me is let's take advantage at least of the work that the Senate did in a bipartisan way with the Senate bill that we passed in June of 2013. Now, Secretary Clinton hasn't said, I'm just going to do that with no changes, because I think, frankly, even those of us who supported that bill, 3 years later, we can find tweaks and adjustments to make it better still. But it would be a comprehensive reform, which would include things for employers to be able to verify immigration bona fides of employees, border security, a path to citizenship for those who have been here if they are paying taxes and they want to become citizens of this country, an appropriate status to recognize the dreamers who are here. So, and then probably some visa reforms as well that were in the original bill. So it's going to be comprehensive, and it really needs to be. We have everybody around the table, Chamber of Commerce, labor, the agriculture community, churches, advocates for new Americans who want to do this. And I think the election in November is going to send a strong message that we ought to do it, that our citizens expect us to.
But the message for sometimes the message sent by voters doesn't seem to matter when people in power care about the risk of a primary challenger, waiting to attack them. And when you say that there's going to be a path to citizenship, a lot of people here who are opposed to that idea, that these people are pro-amnesty. And that's what happens. As someone such as yourself who's worked with both Republicans and Democrats across the aisle successfully, how do you push past that rhetoric and get something done?
It is true that there are those who use that rhetoric and who are not going to be persuaded. But here's my assumption. I think Hillary's going to win this November. I think the Democrats are going to take the Senate this November. I think the Republican margin in the House is going to narrow this November. Because the issue of immigration is so front and center in this campaign, the election result will be a mandate, and that will be very, very clear to everybody in Congress. I've already talked to many Republican senators who said we've got to hit the immigration reform issue right away. It is a more difficult dynamic in the House, but I think the combination of a narrowed margin in the House plus that message that's sent by voters that we want this reform, I think that will enable us, after 30 years, 1986 was the last reform, it will enable us to finally get it over the hump.
Now, one last question before I let you go. You, Senator Kaine, you've drawn criticism for a few things since joining the Clinton ticket, thrust you into the spotlight even more so than before, for gifts you received during your time as governor of Virginia, and for siding with President Barack Obama, at least at first, in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the fast-track legislation. But one critique, if you want to call it that, that's come up again and again comes down to people who say that you're kind of boring. And it sounds so strange, but how do you respond to that?
Well, I don't know that I can. Look, I'm a civil rights lawyer in Virginia and battled hard for important social justice values for 17 years before I got into state politics. And then I've played a major role in helping turn a state that was reliably red into a very competitive and progressive state for Democrats. So I know how to get the job done. And maybe I don't do it with a lot of style points. I know how to get the job done. And I think that's one of the reasons that Hillary Clinton chose me.
Tim Kaine is Democratic vice presidential nominee. Thank you so much for your time. And I hope you enjoy some real Texas chili or Texas barbecue while you're down here.
Thanks, Lauren. Take care.
We also asked Senator Kaine a question in Spanish.
Hay muchos Tejanos que querrían que
there are a lot of Texans who wanted to see Joaquin Castro as Hillary Clinton's running mate. Now that you're the candidate, how do you win them over?
Secretario Castro es un buen amigo. Yo soy un gran apoyante de él.
Secretary Castro is a good friend, and Hillary Clinton had a number of strong candidates for vice president. But I will fight every day for her. I think the difference between Hillary and Donald Trump is so large that the Latino community can understand Hillary is a supporter and Donald Trump is someone fighting against their interests.